Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. Tonight we're going to have a guest, Matthew Ferry, who is actually my neighbor down here in Newport Beach. Before I bring him on, I want to make a couple announcements. Tonight I'm wearing part of all of you know about the new pyramid that we developed, the Chrysalodome. I'm wearing one tonight, partially built. The receptor and the projector have been redesigned. So those of you that are interested in knowing more about that, contact Mikkel. Earlier on the Don and Wynn show, the Sound Healing Conference was mentioned in San Francisco that I'll be attending on May 12th and 11th, and I may open up the concert for Kitaro in the Municipal Auditorium downtown. That's not firmed up yet. And let's see. Oh, I think that's pretty much got it all covered. And tonight's guest is in Newport Beach. He's an entrepreneur. He's a spirited individual. He's traveled around the world a bit. He is like me. You know, one of the things that I hate to hear people say is, I can't afford it. I don't have enough money. And to me, I started out with absolutely nothing. My dad, who was world famous, gave me $60 to leave California back when I was 21 years old to get out of his life. And I know that anybody with a will can make it spiritually, monetarily, financially, and emotionally. So, Matthew, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And I think that even more important is that, you know, a lot of us spiritual types, we've got to really start to get into the energy of money, because really, money for all of us really is a demonstration of contribution and making a difference.
I totally agree with you, and I wish I had you so many times by my side when I hear these sorrowful expressions, I can't afford it, it costs too much, because people are really belittling themselves. That's what I feel. They just aren't putting out the effort to have everything. I think everybody can have anything they want if they truly believe in that. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it really is a world of unlimited possibilities, and the only thing that is limiting it is the neurons and the energy moving through our brain. You know, like that's just a hallucination.
Exactly, it's all an illusion and a hallucination. I agree.
Right, and I wish we had better hallucinations most of the time. But
yeah. So tell us a little bit about now. One of the things that Tom Brennan, our publicist for both of us, actually said that you were over in Tibet for a while. Is that true?
Yeah, I went over there. I have a very good friend and mentor. His name is Stephen Sadler, and he runs an organization called the Self Realization. He has a Self Realization course and the Self Awareness Institute. Blah blah blah. But here's what was so exciting is, Stephen is—he's just this very powerful mix of East-West, and he's able to bring us Westerners over into a little more of a metaphysical conversation. And said, "Why don't we come over and let's go hang out and meditate in Tibet for 17 days?"
Yeah, that's a good idea. Where else did you go over there?
Oh God, we went to Shiganti, we went to Lhasa, we went to another. Oh gosh, I can't even remember the names. You know, they're very interesting names. But we must visit.
Yeah, Lhasa is a very famous place. You know, the Dalai Lama got pulled out by the CIA back a few years ago, and his brother from out of there. You know.
Exactly, and so we were meditating there. We meditated. I mean, it was just incredible. I would say that, even though the Chinese are there, and it's an interesting, oppressing kind of feel. Going there and just being that high, being that close to the electromagnetic field, you know, there's definitely something in that.
Oh, yeah, there's some serious vortexes over there that go back a few millennia.
Yeah, the peace and the joy and the ecstasy. I mean, there was a moment, Fred, where I was meditating, and I literally felt like I was being massaged. I was having sex with people. I was eating chocolate cake and doing whatever the best drugs in the world are simultaneously.
No, I can relate.
All just by closing my eyes. I think I've been looking for that my whole life.
I know, and you found it.
And there it was. It was inside of me the entire time. And so it's interesting, as I bring this to business people and entrepreneurs and CEOs and CFOs, as they start to get a taste of joy and peace and love and this experience of just being blown away by being alive, everything gets better. Their business gets better. Their life gets better. Their relationships get better. And they didn't do anything.
Oh, that's true.
Context a little.
Now, tell me about your background. Where are you? I know you're in Newport Beach, which is right next door to me here in Laguna. Where do you come from? Where's your family from?
Right here. I'm an Orange County boy, and my parents came here. My parents came here when they were kids, and my father created an incredible business called the Mike Ferry Organization and brought me in. I was going to be a rock star when I was a kid.
Well, that's hot.
Passed around, did music, did all of that, and then I.
What did you play? What kind of music?
I was much more into the punk and the interesting sort of new wave music that came out in the 80s. That was sort of my zone. I'm a 39-year-old man, so when I was
I remember
kid,
I
that was in.
I toured with Moody Blues, and one of my friends started managing Motorhead, and I met Alice Cooper one time in a seminar when I was doing, he was playing a concert. Were you into some of that kind of music or what?
Absolutely. I personally listened to everything that you could possibly imagine. Even right now, I have playing on my iTunes Diva Premal, which is an Indian artist. I have everything under the sun. I love it. And so my father gave me a job.
Yeah.
He was in the seminar business, and he trained real estate salespeople.
Right.
And I didn't know anything about it, but he exposed me to all of his mentors. I ended up mentoring with Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, Brian Tracy, Tony Robbins, Earl Nightingale, Napoleon Hill, then, into some of the more esoteric, ways of thinking, and it just called to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've always thought Tony Robbins was an alien. What do you think?
I don't know.
He's an alien.
I don't know if he's an alien or not, but, as a young buck, right, as someone who was wanting to experience personal power,
yeah.
I think that the kinds of things that he talks about are fantastic. As I get older and I now want to bring more peace and joy into my life and simultaneously experience massive abundance and really live an awakened life in every area, I'm leaving some of those modalities behind, leaning a little more over into the zone of, the Buddha or Krishna or hanging out in the Jesus camp and not getting into their religions, but, the things that those dudes said was like, wow, there was some powerful stuff in there.
They were awesome, yeah.
Those guys had their act together, and so as I listen to that and I say, huh, how does that apply to business? How would this apply to my relationship to my son?
Well, just let me stop you. Jesus, I think it was Andrew ran the treasury. They ran a business to finance their – they're feeding of people. People don't realize that they had an actual business going there. They took donations and they went out and bought things and fed them people. I mean, they didn't just run around creating miracles of bread and fish all the time. I don't know if you studied his life like that, but I found that out in my life studies of his life. He was quite a businessman himself. He started out in the roofing business with his dad, Joseph, fixing roofs. he's a carpenter. And then that takes money and that fed the family, and people don't realize that these spiritual beings, actually, some of them worked. Siddhartha might have been born into royalty more so, but, I mean, a lot of them were actual working types,
Well, I agree because, listen, how we really can get connected to our humanity is in the work that we do, in the relationships that we have, in the way in which we've chosen to express ourselves, our nature, right? And most people end up wanting to express themselves in some way that will bring some monetary gain. So why not get that lined up?
Yeah, I my philosophy is always find something that you like and then out of the joy of your own self-expression attract others into that joy. That's kind of been my philosophy, and it sounds like that's sort of how you think too.
Absolutely, but here's the issue that I was faced with is that I am. I'm coaching people one-on-one on the phone for 30 minutes once a week, and they want to have massive breakthroughs.
Yeah.
And they're not really doing things that they love. And so it becomes a game. Can we get the monkey mind stop making everything wrong and start making things right?
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Get into a place of gratitude, into a place of honoring, into a place of saying, how can I serve? What can I do to make a difference?
Yeah.
Just the moment I make that shift, I may be the garbage man. But the moment I make the shift, how can I make a difference? Wow.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine down in Long Beach. His name was Cabin. He started out over on Signal Hill. I'm twice your age, but so Henry Cabin down there started a junkyard business, collecting garbage off the oil fields in Signal Hill back in the 30s. And by the time I met him in the 60s, he was a mega millionaire, and today I think he's a billionaire. You know, I mean, just collecting junk. He just enjoyed getting the trash out of the way, and then later on getting in the recycling business, which was way before the time, you know. Just anything can manufacture money, I think, or create it, you know.
Agreed. And what we do at the Academy is we teach people steps, because my dad was my mentor. And he was a real simple kind of guy, brilliant, but very simple. For him, everything needed to be, what are the steps? Give me the 1, 2, 3. How am I going to do it? Don't just give me the concept.
Right,
and
exactly.
He trained me to be all about the steps. Here's how you do it. First this, then that, then this, then that. And now that we are in the business of teaching people to manifest millions of dollars into their experience, you know, life-altering things, we figured out that you can't just do what they, you know, like the movie The Secret. I love that movie. I'm thrilled that thing came out, but it's very misleading.
Yeah, it is. I totally agree with that.
It's misleading because you and I right now, we could close our eyes, visualize a blue butterfly, and next thing you know, we're going to get inundated with butterflies, images of butterflies. There's going to be everywhere butterflies all over the place, right? And we can do that with parking spaces and pennies and butterflies. But you try and manifest something that will change your life forever, you must learn to shift your perception of the world. And we say that there are 8 steps to make that happen. In fact, I've posted a gift for all of your listeners.
Oh, good.
Go to my website and download the 8 steps on manifesting.
Yeah, what's your website, by the way? So those that don't have a computer.
It's Matthew.
We have a lot of above the ground listeners that don't have computers. Go ahead. What's your website?
It's MatthewFerry.com.
Yeah, and then you have the AcademyOfInfluence.com too, right?
Correct. I also have CreatingSalesVelocity.com and GoMJM.com. I have a bunch for sure. So I'm going to look up and see what that website is, because I want to make sure that I give that to everybody while we're talking so they can go. You know, one of the things that I know is that my gift of making money is so fine-tuned, because I had a father who mentored me to be this way, to be intentional about making a difference for others, and to be intentional about contributing and coming up from a place of how may I serve. So what I find is my whole philosophy now that I've split off, and now I'm being my own man, I have my own company, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And the whole game for me is teaching people that contribution is the answer.
Yeah, I agree.
You just stay in a place of how may I serve, and you get out of all this funky, am I going to get anything, and is anyone going to give anything back, and I'm not going to have anything, and oh my God, what if I get ripped off, and he screwed me over, and all of this is nothing more than survival.
Exactly.
And the problem is you're going to die, so you ain't going to survive anyway.
Right.
People crack me up. They're trying to survive all the time. It is actually the Academy of Influence site is where we have our free thing for everybody, and it's on academyofinfluence.com/bell, B-E-L-L.
Oh,
and
cool.
I uploaded a 3-hour audio for them.
Wow.
How to manifest mega millions. And it's not just mega millions. That's just what I focus on, because I work with so many people who are interested in money, so many entrepreneurs and leaders and whatnot.
Right.
But you can manifest anything. We want to manifest a new house. Your new environment that you'd want to manifest is going to take some inner work. You have to actually shift who you're being inside to have this occur. And so the 8 steps that I share with people are really what I learned from the 161 millionaires that I noticed didn't work to make money.
Right.
They literally just thought about it, went into this interesting sort of relationship with the world that was very much a dance, and next thing you know, they had what they wanted.
Yeah.
And that dance is what I teach people. There are 8 steps to that.
Yeah, and by the way, the listeners out there, if you go to the quick chat, I'm actually monitoring that tonight on the BBS front page there, and have any questions for us, I'll try to ask them as we go along.
Beautiful.
We have a quick chat thing on the front here, and sometimes people ask a lot of questions, and then I can answer them because they can't all call in. So keep going.
I love that. You know, I think that if people look at the fact that they are unwilling to identify what they want, that they are actually spending the majority of their time complaining about what they have, and they're not aware of how powerful they are.
And that's very well put. That's very well put. Kind of like crybabies, you know, not appreciating what you have. And we're talking about perfect health. You might not have any monetary gains or value a whole lot yet, but at least your health. You know, health is wealth to me. You know, just that alone is a good place to start.
Major.
I feel.
Well, and I mean, come on, Fred, let's be honest. If they're listening to this right now, they've got some degree of comfort going on in their world, in their life.
Oh, yeah.
Some degree of comfort if they're listening to this right now. So what we teach is a process called the 10-10 visualization.
Right.
And I do it in companies. It's a crack-up because the companies don't get it at first. The executives are usually saying to me, you know, how is this going to work? What do you mean this is going to increase our sales? How? And I always just say to them, forget about the how. Don't worry about that. Just trust me on this. And what we do is we have people list out 10 things that they're grateful for.
Right.
That they like about their life, that are good, that they appreciate, that, you know, I mean, as you look around, even in your environment right now, I'd be willing to bet in your environment, there's 10 things you could appreciate in your environment right now.
Oh, I could do 20 in a minute. I'm a very happy person. You know, I have great things going on. Yeah, I agree
but
with
by
you.
By choice.
Yeah.
Here's
yeah.
the thing.
Well, exactly, by choice. You bet.
You are choosing it. You are being, you're at the helm of your life. Most
exactly.
people don't realize that their survival mechanism, called their mind, which I like to call the drunk monkey, is really doing all the choosing out of habitual thought processes that they're not even aware of or have never even taken a look at. So the first thing is take 10 things you love about your life. Second thing is identify 10 things you want on top of that. So it's sort of like the cake is your life. The icing is the new stuff.
Exactly.
And,
that's a great way.
And then
great
just
way.
Take 10 minutes every day and just sit, eyes closed, and get grateful.
Right. You know, one of the big things that I've always told my listeners is that they're so busy dealing with other things, other problems, their families, their husbands, their wives, their kids, their other relatives, and their exercise program, and they're driving the kids to the soccer game or the football game or the high school. They don't even take 10 minutes in their entire day or night. You know, by the time they get home, they get done, they crash, they fall asleep in their beds. They don't take 10 or 20 or 30 minutes long enough to really realize who they are, let alone, you know what I'm saying? They just don't tell people. It's one of the things I always tell people. Find out who you are by separating all this outside energy, family included, to find out who you are, because you're a much better benefactor to your environment and your relatives and your friends if you know who you are.
If they're listening to this show, this is the thing.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this show right now, then you already know that you're someone who's on the leading edge of humanity, that you're someone who is dealing with thought that is far beyond what the masses are dealing with. And it's crystal clear that if they're listening to this show right now, so listen to me, listener, if you're listening right now, it is absolute verifiable that the people in your life are relying upon you for energy, for new ideas, to take things to the next level. You are someone who is an uplifter. Because you couldn't stand listening to Dr. Fred if you weren't an uplifter. He would drive you crazy because he's calling you to the carpet constantly on how you drag yourself down. So all there is to do is to begin to take responsibility for my job is to uplift. My job is to bring energy to situations, to get people going, to get people excited, to get people feeling good. How do I do it? I feel good myself.
Exactly.
I
agree with you.
Good,
I need you on more often. I need you to introduce my shows from now on. Great introduction here.
Well, yeah. Here's the interesting, you know, having studied influence, right? So I studied influence, but I wasn't influence at first. I started by studying sales, and then I studied persuasion and rhetoric and things like that. But then I started getting into just the idea of being someone who is influential. And as I got into that, I realized that the people who've made the greatest difference on the planet made it because they were being an influence, and that influence generally comes from their heart.
I agree with that.
What they're speaking.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're being a huge influence here to a lot of people. You're making a big difference here.
Yeah, well, I made enough influence to get you on the show so you could tell them that I'm making an influence, but actually you're amplifying that influence. It's really glad to have you here tonight, by the way.
That is my goal. My goal is to come on the show and to make sure that people know that if they have a person like this who's willing to amplify this message, that you want to honor it and you want to take it to them, and they want to take what you're saying out to the street, and they want to say stuff to their husbands and their wives that they normally wouldn't say, but not in a way where they make them wrong, in a way where they honor them. You know, I take the 10-10 visualization, and I do it on my wife, because every once in a while I want to punch my wife in the nose.
Yeah.
And every once in a while I look at my kids and I think, what on earth was I thinking?
Yeah.
And we all have these feelings, but the question is, can you mitigate that anxiety, that frustration, that energy of sadness and anger and hostility by purposely focusing on what's good, what's working, what do you like, what are you happy about?
It's hard for some people, and I want to ask you something. I came from a screwed up family, and you obviously came from a very strong one. You loved your dad.
It's taken me 10 years to get my thinking straight around my father. The man just wanted to make a difference for me. But the way in which he chose to do it made me pissed off pretty much the entire time.
Oh, okay. So now we got common ground now. So you had some hours of doubt in that. And did you ever have any? What was like your worst moments with your dad, if you don't mind me asking? You know, before you got into this holistic.
Some of my worst moments actually occurred once I started working for him. But you know, I remember one time being 13 years old, sitting in the car, and him just looking back to me and saying, why don't you just give up on this whole music dream? I mean, it's just, you know, 1 in a million people are ever going to be successful doing this. You should, you know, why are you bothering?
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, I am going to show you. Oh, man, I'm going to show you. And I'll tell you right now, that I'm going to show you has plagued me my entire life. I do so many stupid things to try and prove that I'm smart to people who don't even care and aren't even looking.
Thank you. That's two of us. Okay? That's two of us.
I must have
nice to hear somebody as crazy as I am.
Smart.
Yeah.
And I like what you said, though. It's like, take some time to figure out who you are.
Yeah.
At the Academy of Influence, that's all we do. We teach people to be influential. And how we teach them to be influential is we get them to start understanding their motives.
Right. Now, do they come to you, or do you send correspondence courses out, or how do they get in touch with you if they want to come? Because a lot of times people come on our show, and then they want to, you know, the audience wants to come and visit them or get their material. How does that work?
I would say, first of all, if a person does not have a computer to download our audio into their iPod or onto their computer or make a CD or whatever, then they should call our office and they should speak with Maggie. And our office number is 877. This is in the U.S., okay? So I'll give you
give it a couple times out.
877-777-1970. We're slightly obsessed with sevens.
Yeah, well, I'm an eight person. You're a seven person. You know, I've talked to people in your office, and I got to say this in all honesty. Down here in Orange County, because I have a business besides my radio show. I have a major business down here. I have a real problem finding good people with good attitudes. I have those people now, but I won't tell you how many bad people and horrible attitudes I had to go through to finally get to where I'm at now. Your people have wonderful, wonderful attitudes. Your people amplify happiness, compassion, and fulfillment. And obviously they're getting it from you. I mean, I'm sure it's within them, too. But I have to say, the girls that I've talked to at your office are totally wonderful to talk to. So the audience out there, if you just want to have an experience of some cool people, talk to his secretaries, the people that run his office, because they're great. They're just wonderful.
You know what we do?
I mean that from my heart.
I totally appreciate that. We are we're an organization who has a couple of values at our core, and one of our values is total and complete acceptance of all people in all situations at all times, including ourselves.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting value to have when you also are very intense about promises, commitments, structures, integrity, you know, because to make a difference on the planet, you got to have those too.
Yeah, it's got to be built in. Yeah, I understand.
Put those two together and you got some intense people. And one of our values is that we practice what we preach. I have seen, you know, Fred, I've been in the speaking business since 1989.
Yeah,
so I have seen every speaker under the sun, and I am not happy to report that the majority of the people say the most wonderful things on stage,
right?
But then who they are off stage is not representative of what they just said.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
Something happened to me, right? So at about 22 years old, something happened.
Right.
Speaker was on stage, I was enamored, blown away, they came off stage, they weren't being that at all, and in that moment, I just made a decision. I just said, if I was ever going to teach anybody, tell anybody to do anything, I will only tell them to do stuff that I have experimented on myself with first.
Yeah, that's the best way.
I will be the message.
Yeah, I like that. That's
and
pretty rare.
What we teach.
Yeah, I think that's great. I really think it's great.
And this and that's so think about the CEO of a Fortune 500 company taking that on.
Yeah, and that's the thing I wanted to get into. I know you do work with a lot of companies, right? Or have in the past.
Yeah, we don't target companies generally. It's just individuals from those companies come.
Okay, well,
the
same thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you bet. I mean, we've worked with a lot of major companies out there in the world. And what I've discovered is that productivity is not a function of work. Productivity is a function of perspective.
Now, that's a very good statement.
If I change my perspective on things, let's say, for example, let's get real basic, okay? So let's go into manufacturing.
Right.
I am a worker on the line, and I'm in charge of a particular operation that is an efficiency model, basically.
Right.
The more I am in a place of contentment, joy, happiness, enthusiasm, love, freedom, I'm experiencing just the joy of being alive, I intuitively make smarter moves. I
exactly.
find myself jumping three steps ahead and catching something before it even goes wrong. The communication I have with each of the people in my department
right.
is magical. And it's almost like I can read their mind and they can read my mind. They love coming into work. They can't wait to come into work. They come in early. They stay late because the atmosphere that is created is an atmosphere that is not present almost anywhere in anybody's lives.
No, I understand that. You know, when I talk to, you know, I have like 26 subcontractors in my businesses, and what I see in the American, you know, workforce today is a lack of desire, drive, and spirituality, and therefore the product, you know, for example, the car manufacturers, it's horrible. So that causes, you know, people to shift their emphasis for a product to go overseas, like in China. And I just don't see in this country, you know, the esprit de corps that we had at the turn of the century, the beginning of the mechanical age and all of that, the electric age after, you know, Nikola Tesla and Edison. This country was on fire. But then after the 50s, everybody just sort of slacked off and didn't care. And it's kind of sad what I've seen in this country. Have you noticed that?
But I also noticed the exact opposite beginning to flower up. You know, it's the dance.
Well, that's really good to hear. I like to hear that.
It's the dance of Shiva. We've got the destruction, right? You've got to destroy what was working.
Yeah, Shiva. Destroy it, right?
To create anew.
Exactly.
And so what I see what's happening is the same thing that happens in all businesses, all projects, everything, is
right.
That really success is nothing more than a series of well-managed breakdowns.
Yeah, that's really you're brilliant. Are you writing a book on this?
Yeah,
you've already written one.
I have a new book out called, or it's not, I'm writing it right now, called The Mental Journey to Millions. My last
book like
that. Called...
Yeah, just before we go into that, just repeat that one more time. That should be cast in stone about the breakdown. I like that. Go ahead.
It is that success is a series of well-managed breakdowns. I learned that from a friend of mine, Nancy, and I've adopted
that. That is brilliant.
I totally agree. Because think about it, you know, I was reading your bio about, you know, working in the government and working with NASA and la, la, la. I mean, all of these things, working in the entertainment industry and all the things you've done. Right?
Yeah.
You know that to create anything, you literally, it's total BS. You literally are just making it up.
Exactly.
And then you create this plan and you pretend that the plan is actually what is supposed to
working.
Happen.
Working. Yeah, exactly.
And it
That's
never
how I,
happens that way.
Yeah.
It's always off track, mm-hmm. And your job is just to mitigate the craziness.
Yeah,
and
no, that's true. That's very true.
You know,
when I get up,
you just stay stoked, you stay optimistic, you stay happy. It's like, look, our country's in a little bit of a breakdown right now. Cool. That means something really good's going to happen.
I like your attitude.
I broke my collarbone, dude. 3 weeks ago, I broke my collarbone. You know what I said? After I stopped crying for 10 straight minutes.
Yeah, I know
I
that.
I got up, I looked at my friends, and I said, something good's going to happen out of this one.
Yeah.
And they were like, huh? And I said, this is a big breakdown.
Yeah.
Something good's going to happen out of this.
That's so funny. How long ago did you break your collarbone? 10 days ago?
Three weeks ago,
because about 2 weeks ago, I shoved a sharp object, bumped into a nail into my lower thigh. Now, I never get infections. I never had, you know, I'm a vegetarian. I have perfect health. I never get sick. I got a damn infection inside of me that I had to go take antibiotics for. I've never in my life had that happen. You know, and I just got over this infection, which should have never happened. I used to walk on nails, and they go through my feet, and I never get, you know, tetanus shots. But about 2 weeks ago, or about 2.5 weeks ago, I had the same experience. What is this? My leg swelled up, and I had a temperature of 100 degrees. If it had been systemic, that it had me in an IV drip in a hospital. I'm over it now, but I had to go through a whole other experience where I had to kind of reorient my life just to deal with this because I couldn't function like I normally do. It was a real downer. You know what I mean?
And
that's
probably
what you thought. Yeah.
Right, but listen, here's the thing. If you were in one of our classes at that time, we actually would have had a celebration.
Oh, that's cool.
We would have said, all right, everybody, right? Let's say we were on the Science of the Miraculous class, right? So in the Science of the Miraculous class, we celebrate all destruction, all failure, all chaos, all nightmares, because we know they are the predecessor to something really good.
Yeah.
And so we would have said, Dr. Fred, he's got a fat leg with an infection. He's never had an infection before. Life has taken him down. He's on the ground. He's out for the count. He can't do nothing. What do we say about this? And everyone on the phone, all 100 of us, would have been like, yeah, Dr. Fred.
I love it. That's too
because
cool.
Because we know you got to break down in order to break through. You've got to have destruction in order to have creation. They're the same thing.
Yeah.
We pray for breakdown.
You've been spent some time with the Shiva energy. I can feel that. That's for sure. That's great. You know,
I
you're reminding me of what I should already know, but I forget sometimes, you know.
Well, hey, we're all teaching each other, my friend.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit of Alzheimer's here in my Tibetan my Tibetan teachings. Yeah,
but
I love it.
Know that that you know we don't. When I say we, you know, I have 7 course leaders that train with me all over the country, and we do telephone classes and big seminars and whatnot. But
so you do go out and do seminars at different places, right? I saw an events calendar on your website.
Absolutely, we're committed. You know. know, I'll tell you, we have a commitment. Our commitment is that human beings live from a place of courageous authenticity, that they have the courage to reveal how messed up they are, to reveal how crappy they feel, to just be honest about how life isn't what they thought it would be, because we know that the moment you admit it, you can now accept it and you can transmute it. And so we're committed to human beings really getting they have the power to create their own reality. And the reality that we're committed to creating is prosperity, happiness, and peace for all people on the planet. And we'll do anything to have it happen. We'll be shocking. We'll be crazy. We'll be strange. We'll do anything to shock people out of their bizarre belief system that they must continue to suffer, and that suffering is bad, right? Suffering is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
We pray for suffering.
Yeah, now I'm getting a bunch of questions here. Can you answer a few of them?
Absolutely.
Okay. Dr. Bell, please ask why The Secret is so exploiting Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich.
Well, isn't Napoleon Hill, who of course is one of my, you know, my lineage, you need to know that my father's mentor was Earl Nightingale, and Nightingale's mentor was Napoleon Hill.
Cool.
So Napoleon Hill is like my downline, my lineage, right? And The Secret is exploiting all kinds of different stuff. But, you know, the Buddha talked about manifesting. Jesus talked about manifesting. Lao Tzu talked about manifesting. Everybody's been talking about it the whole time.
Right.
But, you know, it's just that, thank God, The Secret came out, and a normal person, right? So the person who typed that question in, it's someone like us. They're a kindred spirit. They're a learner.
Guys from Greenwich, Connecticut. Yeah.
Right. They grow. They learn. They want to. They're on the leading edge. Well, the majority of the planet is not on the leading edge. And so, as basic as the movie The Secret is, it opened up. There's people who ask me, "Have you seen The Secret?" And when they say it, I think to myself, "Oh my God, you watched The Secret? What an incredible life. I can't even believe I'm living this life right now, that you, the realist, just watched The Secret and is digging it."
Yeah.
So it's cool. Who, you know, I personally am just a shortcut to the library.
Yeah.
I am nothing more than an accumulation of all of my mentors. And so are the people on The Secret.
No, I love it. Now, another question. Does he believe consciousness is, they're talking about the secret now, does he believe consciousness is in the mind or in the heart for manifestation? We've already said that, but go ahead and repeat that.
In the mind or in the heart?
For manifestation, yeah.
I would say that I'm not certain that I understand that question exactly, but
okay,
I would like to just say this about it, okay?
Go ahead.
That for the person who would ask a question like that, I'm going to say something that won't make sense to the majority of people who are listening, but will definitely make sense to that person. And that is that manifestation is a hallucination that you're having, that we are in a continuum, an expression of all that is coming about. And all we're doing is, to say that we're manifesting is a crack-up. We're doing is becoming aware of what is emerging and putting our attention on it.
Exactly.
But, you know,
I like that. That's the hologram. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. There's a whole field of possibilities emerging, and it's like, well, which one do you want to pay attention to? What reality do you want to live in?
Yeah. And then another question from another guy named Steven. I don't know where he's from, but what exactly is misleading about the movie The Secret?
What's misleading is that you can't just visualize something and have it occur. You literally have to become one with it.
Yeah,
and,
I agree. I always say you have to, in order to receive, you have to believe. That was one of my old coinage things, and I got from a friend of mine. He was actually a pawn shop dealer up in Fullerton years ago, but I liked it because he had everything. He had Rolls Royces and stuff, you know, beyond my wildest dreams when I was, you know, very young. And eventually I had those things too, but I mean, it's like, you know, he always, Victor, his name was, if you don't believe, you won't receive. And I wondered how this guy running this pawn shop could have so many things. And I found out he was right. And I finally just let it open, and then just the stuff comes, you know. Now I have to, like, yeah.
That is directly from Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, which is what you believe and conceive you can achieve.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that the when I say it's misleading, what
yeah.
I mean by that is I think misleading is probably not the right word, so I'd like to retract those and instead say it is incomplete.
Yeah,
and
I like that.
It is a wonderful introduction to the idea that if you think about something, it will happen.
Yeah.
It's just that most people, given just that statement alone, would have to think about things their entire life for them to occur. Little stuff, no big deal. Consider this. Here's the primary distinction. If you care about it, it's harder. If you don't, it's easier.
Yeah, no, that's a brilliant statement. That's a brilliant statement. I mean, I love that. And I learned that was a hard one for me to learn in my material trip, you know. At one point in my life, I was a multimillionaire after I left NASA and had a couple businesses. Then I studied with a Tibetan, you know, and a Rajput prince. And so I just gave everything away, and I didn't want anything material anymore. I just get rid of it all. I got rid of cars, and you know what I mean? And then
yep.
I was living up in Laurel Canyon, Frank Zappa's old house. It's called a log cabin. It was a 25,000 square foot house. In 1974, I was the victim of the largest robbery in Hollywood ever. I was
wow.
up north studying with a Tibetan guy named Sarenjiva Roy. They came in and cleaned me out. I moved down from the 25,000 square foot house to this little 3,000 square foot house I have in Laguna now, and I didn't have to throw anything out and have anything. Before, the living room would have filled this house, and I just started over. And guess what? I got too much stuff again. It just comes back, you know what I mean? But now I'm not attached to it anymore. It just
right.
came
it's
back.
Like,
but
you know, when
yeah.
you die and you're gonna, it's all gonna go
it's
away.
It's all gone anyway. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, really, life is a crack up.
Yeah, it
the
is.
The moment you can get there, that life is a total crack up, all the drama is so funny and silly. Right? I mean, the majority of the planet believes that you come to Earth for the fun of it, right? What is fun?
Yeah.
It's fun to get robbed. It's fun to get beaten. It's fun to get to be destroyed. It's fun. That's what, when you're in the essence, when you're in all that is, when you're pure consciousness, yeah. there is no contrast.
Yeah, hold on. I think we might have a caller. Do we have a caller, Don?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Nice. We do.
Hi.
Who?
Hi, Fred.
Hi.
This is your Palladian friend.
Okay.
Nice.
Jehala.
You have a question for Matthew?
In the Smokies. Yes. I just want to probably validate what your guest is talking about tonight.
Matthew, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't think that people know how powerful their thoughts really are. In fact, I'm guilty of this. I'll raise my hand. And I thought, you know, I wanted certain things to happen in my life, but this wasn't about just in my personal life. These were physical things with animals, because I raised poodles, and everybody wanted teacup poodles. They wanted the little itty-bitty things, and I said, well, I don't have those. I've never had them before, and I don't even have parents that could produce a little 2-pound poodle. True story, guys. Within the past 6 months, when I started thinking about little bitty poodle babies, full-grown 2 pounds, guess what?
What?
I've got 2-pound poodles now, full-grown.
Wow. Of
okay?
Course.
Same parents. They're still 6- and 7-pound parents, but I have 2-pound poodles now.
Miracle alert. Miracle alert. Miracle
yeah.
alert. This is, I'm telling you, this is not...
It is
this is not unusual.
Stuff.
This is just how life is.
It is
it's just
powerful.
We're not tuned into it.
Yes. But what people need to understand, I think another reason why I'm calling in tonight is that I was prepared for if what I had wished, these were not really wishes, they were just thoughts that started to come across my mind, my subconscious mind, and then it began to manifest. But you know
well,
what?
How did you like that feeling?
When you wish for these things,
yeah.
But you're also prepared to deal with the manifestation of it, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
And that's
okay.
True, isn't it, Matthew? A lot of people, I tell people now, be careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Because
I'd like to propose I'd like to propose, actually, that you don't need to be careful what you wish for. If you just look into your life, you'll see exactly what you've been wishing for.
Yes.
I like that better. Thank you.
All you need to do is say, well, do I like what I got now? Oh, well, you know what? I don't like this. Okay, what do I want?
Right.
What do I want?
I like that better. I'm going to come down and take one of your classes.
Maybe they didn't search it out.
No, that's brilliant.
You see, there comes responsibility for those wishes, that subconscious thought that manifests into the physical. There's also a lot of responsibility that comes with that, too.
I totally agree with that.
We just say funny things when we're in our classes. Like, we got this class coming up called The Science of the Miraculous.
Yeah.
And it's 8 weeks and it's over the phone, so we got to do a lot of talking, right? Because it's all over the phone. It's kind of like this.
Right.
And so we'll just chant sometimes. I'll just say, all right, everybody, I just want you right now, on the count of three, we're all going to say, I am the creator of my experience. And then everyone's, I am the creator of my experience. And then I want you to just look around in your life and say, I did that. Everyone, right now, look around in your life. I did that. I created that. I did that. I created that. I created my father to be who he was for me. Thank God the guy drove me out of my mind because his driving me out of my mind taught me to be who I really am.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only when I began to honor our differences that I could truly express myself.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for the breakdown. Thank God for all the stuff that I've created that is, I don't know, that bugs me, that agitates me.
Yeah, Matthew, I think you're a real master of compassion. I really do. You're amazing. I'm glad that you're on this planet. I'm glad you're on this radio show. I'm blown away by you, actually. I'm going to come and meet you in Newport, have lunch with you or something when you have time.
Dude,
I'm
we're
really
just
curious.
Around the corner. Let's hang out.
Yeah.
See, I'm total Newport. Dude, let's go.
Yeah, come down to Laguna and you'll see the temple that I live in with the vortex and everything. I need to give you one of my books, Rays of Truth.
I love it. Yeah, I'm down in Laguna all the time.
You need to come down here quick.
This is what I want the listeners to know.
Yeah.
I want the listeners to know that there is nothing you cannot do, be, or have. Nothing.
Nope.
And that the only thing that is stopping you from having what you want you are upset with how life is right now. And if you can just get into a place where you go, "What? You know what? I have to eat tuna every single day to survive."
Mm-hmm.
Terrific.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in. Count me in. You know what? I love tuna. I am so thankful that I eat tuna every single day. I'm thankful that I don't have to eat dog food.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially the dog food that's out there right now.
Well, and you know what? There might be some dog food that I would like, but I'm happy that I get to eat tuna.
I said that facetiously.
just come from a place of all is well, all is perfect. Have I told you about the perfect game that we play?
No, let's hear it. I want to hear everything that you guys do. It's amazing what you guys do.
Step six, we're all about being practical. Step six in the manifesting process. So we say to manifest big stuff, there's eight steps.
Yep.
And step six is called play the perfect game. So you put these big wishes and intentions out there, and then the universe shows up, bam, and gives it to you, but you don't think it should look like that, so you say no.
Right.
The perfect game honors that the universe will always deliver in a way that is way better than you could ever expect.
Yep.
And you'll never know what it's supposed to look like, so you got to learn.
And be prepared for that, too.
Right. So what you do is, what step one of the perfect game is, whatever's offered, you take it.
Yes.
Whatever is suggested, you do it.
Yep.
And whatever happens, you declare it perfect. Good, bad, right or wrong, ugly, whatever. My wife, when I first met her, this was 11 years ago, I was teaching her about manifesting, and she was very, very logical, you know, well-trained, well-schooled person. And I
was she one of these overachievers?
Overachievers, and
yeah.
She's like,
okay.
You know what, dude? This is a bunch of crap. Yeah. There is no such thing as manifesting. You have to work for it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll prove it to you. How about this? How about I will manifest a free Ferrari? And she said, a free Ferrari. Now, at the time, I'm driving a Jeep Cherokee.
Right.
Right? I will manifest a free Ferrari. And she's like, you manifest a free Ferrari, and I will believe in manifesting. I said, done. So I'm, you know, doing all the steps for manifesting a free Ferrari, and I'm going through the process. And I'm just, basically, all I'm doing is I'm enjoying everything I have.
Right,
I'm in
exactly.
a complete state of alignment and harmony with my environment, and there are steps to have that occur. Well,
right.
about 3 months into it, my dad calls me out of the blue and says, you know, I'm marrying Kathy. And I said, of course I know you're marrying Kathy. What do you mean? He says, well, you know, I've got my cars, and she has her car, and quite frankly, I like my car better, so we want to get rid of hers.
Really? Yeah.
And I said, well, I play the perfect game, right? So whatever's offered, I say yes. Yes, I'll take it.
Yeah.
And he gives me a free Lexus.
Well,
so
okay.
I'm driving in this Lexus, and it's about a month later.
Yeah.
I'm just fluttering along. I'm still waiting for the free Ferrari.
Right.
It's about a month later, and I'm picking my son up from school.
Right.
And I throw him in the back seat of the car. I'm committed to being with my kids and really, you know, I contribute to all, thousands and thousands of people every single week, but, you know, it would be a tragedy if I didn't, you know, contribute to my kids.
Exactly, I know. Yeah.
I'm hanging with my kid. We're driving along, and all of a sudden it hits me. Oh, my God. I got this car for free. But if I would have got a free Ferrari, I wouldn't have been able to pick them up. You can't put kids in a Ferrari.
Exactly.
You can't put them in the front seat. It's illegal.
Right.
So I'm like, whoa, isn't
right.
that interesting? Then I got into, wait a second, well, what does a Ferrari represent to me? And I thought, style, speed, right, prestige.
Yeah.
I went into all these things, what the Ferrari represented, and all of a sudden I realized, whoa, you know what? This Lexus. I get out of the Lexus, and then, you know, it's like I shut the door, and all of a sudden it's like, well, you can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man, right? I'm like strutting away from
the
thing.
It's a beautiful car.
Right, and I'm like, wait a second. I got what I needed,
mm-hmm.
not
exactly.
what I wanted. Given my limited, egotistical, large ape point of view, I wanted the big, hairy chest vehicle that would have made me look fantastic, right?
Yeah,
but
right.
instead, the universe took into account that I also have an initiative with my kids, that I also have an initiative to drive safely so that I don't kill anyone, and I'm a little bit overzealous.
Yeah.
I got what I needed, not what I wanted.
Exactly.
If I could just get people to recognize that you're always getting something better than what your mind can conceive.
Absolutely.
Yes, you can conceive. If you can conceive and believe, you can achieve. Absolutely. But what you achieve will always be better than what you conceived or believed.
Yeah, it's totally true. That's such a beautiful
here,
story.
Guys?
Yeah, go ahead.
What I found was the key for myself is that believe it, set it free, and don't think about it anymore.
Don't
dwell on it. Make that mental subconscious thought about it. Believe that it has already happened, and so be it. And then it comes.
I want to put a caveat on that, okay? I want to put a caveat on that because a lot of people say, all right, here's the thing. I want to have my own house. I'm living in an apartment, and it sucks. And I hate my landlord, and I don't like the neighborhood, and I feel like crap every time I come here. They have this whole set of energetic point of views locked into place.
Yes.
And so when it comes to life changing, this is what we work on at the Academy of Influence, life changing things. You need to go about it in a different way, and this is what I want everyone to go to my website and download. I am committed that the world knows the steps to life-changing, life-altering, oh, my God, I can't believe it actually happened, stuff.
Yes.
And so everyone, please go to academyofinfluence.com / what did I say it was, Bell?
Bell. Bell.
I was going to say Fred. I don't remember what it was. So academyofinfluence.com / Bell, go to my website, MatthewFerry.com, which is two T's, two R's, and I've got other audios and things that you can download there. And, you know, we're committed to literally just giving away the store. And the reason that we do that is we know what we understand reciprocity. We understand that when you give, you receive. And so we're always committed to demonstrating that in our actions. We want to be what we teach. That is our whole mission.
Yeah. Also, Matthew, give out your phone numbers again too for everybody.
Right, because some people don't have a computer, right? So what I decided to do.
A lot of people in Florida don't have them. Yeah.
I have decided to make this 3-hour audio into a CD set. It's called The Exact Science of Manifestation, and normally I sell it for $49.95. But for those people who can't download it, I would be more than happy to send you one out. So if you will call my office, which is 877-777-1970, you can speak to my mother-in-law, Maggie. Maggie from England. She's got a bit of an English accent.
Matthew, what part of England is your wife from?
They are from North London. I'm not sure what that is or where it is, but they're very proper.
Yeah, I understand. I have two kids living over on the Isle of Wight right now.
I'm sure that I am a hilarious disruption to the family.
Oh, yeah, you are. That's great, though.
I'm the entertainment.
Yeah, you are definitely the entertainment.
Yeah, you're good entertainment, hon.
Well, here's the thing. I realized that why not laugh our way to consciousness?
Absolutely.
Right? Why not be silly and giddy and ridiculous and funny? I mean, to even be serious in the first place is such a joke. I mean, what's going to happen? You're going to die. People throw dirt on your face, and then they're going to eat.
Hey, we all got to do that.
It's going to happen to all of us. We're going to die. They're going to put you in a hole, throw dirt on your face,
there.
Everybody will have a feast.
Absolutely. Have fun getting there.
Yeah, exactly.
Make it a long time.
Let's just be.
And I'll say, I wish for a white van. I forgot to wish for one that didn't have dents in it. I got the white van.
Well, you know what? Maybe the dents are there to remind you of something.
The thoughts of our subconscious minds are so powerful. And I'll leave you guys with that tonight. I mean, I'm just having a ball with my life.
Thank you.
Bye-bye,
guys. Thank you so much for adding your energy to the show. We so appreciate you and everyone who's been sending out questions through the text and all of that. It's really a blessing to have your interaction. And Fred and I really are no one without you. Our power, our energy, our enthusiasm is in response to you and our relationship with you. I don't know about you, Fred, but I just am so grateful that anyone will listen at all.
Yeah, I am too. And this is, by the way, in case you didn't know, it's the number one show on BBS Radio. And BBS Radio is now becoming probably the largest internet show in the world. And we're about to go up on satellite. Also, I want to thank my listeners at WTAN, 1340 Tantalk.com. And we are also the voice of Tampa Bay. I have many, many above the ground stations down in Florida, regular AM, FM stations listening to us tonight. So I really appreciate you coming on. And you're as crazy as I am. You actually think like I do. You feel like I do. And I'm just blown away. I guess there's a reason why we couldn't connect during the week to have a pre-show interview, because we really didn't need it. We just hit it. And I really want to see you very, very, very soon down here in Laguna.
Let's hang out.
And I'll come to your place, too. Yeah, because I live like in a Tibetan. Yeah, I live in a Tibetan temple kind of atmosphere down here. So I think you'll like it.
I love it. I can't wait to see it.
Okay, got to run. That was Matthew Ferry. Look on the front page of the index page of BBS Radio's Dr. Fred Bell. This was the Health, Science, and Energy Show, Saturday, March 24, 2007. Matthew, do you want to come back again sometime?
I would love it. I can't wait.
Yeah, no, we'll have you back. And once again, put your phone number up, and then we're out of here.
877-777-1970. Looking forward to hearing from y'all.
All right. Thanks a lot. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
I love you.